The rest of you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Church ought to be about the gospel. The gospel is just good news. That's what it means. And we ought to want to tell people about the good news. But sometimes what I find is people don't understand or believe the good news, God's word. And especially when we have certain seasons on our calendar that were created by organization, religious organization that has nothing to do with the Bible or our beliefs. And because America adopted that calendar many, many years ago, those items are still on there, like Easter and other things, and it just came across, and we follow the same traditions that other religions follow. And just as a side note to people who may not know the history of churches that were called Baptists, Baptists are not considered Protestants. Don't listen to the news. They don't know what to call everybody because they're not trying to, they don't want to offend anybody. So they just say Christians are celebrating Ash Wednesday. And no, Christians are not celebrating Ash Wednesday. Christians are not celebrating Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they get those terminologies mentioned because Protestants, for those who may not know the history of that, were people who used to be part of the Catholic Church in Europe that protested over time the doctrines and the beliefs of the church and decided to come up with their own beliefs that were more geared toward the Bible at that time. And usually there is a person involved in the charge of that, Martin Luther for the Lutherans. You have the Presbyterian and all the other religions that are out there. Those are considered Protestant because they protested long ago and were broken off by themselves from the Catholic Church. And so if you were never a follower of the Catholic Church, you can't be a Protestant because you were never broken off from you were never part of it. And the Baptists over history since Jesus' time was never part of a religious organization. And Jesus defines that for us in the scriptures. But what we need to understand is what matters in our life is that we know and believe the gospel. And one of the places we find that is in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is just, and there's some, a lot of different places in Acts and other places that this is a good summary. But I really like 1 Corinthians 15 because it gives us a breakdown of the important matters in our life and what we should believe as a Christian and be able to tell others as a Christian. So we're going to read a few verses together and we'll break this down and what beliefs you have and what matters in your beliefs. And so here we have in 1 Corinthians 15, let me find the right, here we go. So in verses 1 through 8, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory and what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. And so Paul is telling them here that what you believe about the gospel matters in your life. What you believe about the gospel does matter. You know, and it tells us here, he says, by which ye are saved. He's talking about the gospel. If ye keep in memory the things I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And so there's some that may believe in vain and not realize that Christ died for a reason. There is a reason for God, for Christ to die. And we have to realize part of the gospel is understanding that we needed a Savior because we had sin. And Christ had to die to remove your sins. There is no way you're going to have your sins forgiven. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means there's none righteous, no, not one. That means we're all sinners, and we're all bound for hell. Hell is a permanent, eternal place that the soul will spend if it has its own sin and is not pure and perfect in God's eyes. Every soul will be in hell forever and ever if they're not forgiven of their sin, if they're not cleansed of their sin. And the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that Christ died for a reason. It's because we're all sinners. It's that simple. But Christ rose for a reason as well. And that was for our salvation. Because Jesus became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when he was slain, his blood was shed for our sins, that we could have remission of our sins. And yet it didn't stop there. Jesus had to rise again to bring us resurrection power and to be able to place that sin offering upon the mercy seat of heaven that we could be forgiven forever. And so there is a reason why Jesus had to die, and there's a reason why he rose again. And it's part of the gospel. And it does matter that you believe that as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe it so you can get saved and miss hell for all eternity. But if you know you're a Christian, this is the gospel, and we cannot replace the gospel with situations and programs and other things that this world offers, because it takes our eyes off the truth of the matter. And what matters is what you believe, and you must believe that God died for a reason and was raised again for a reason. It's for your good. And he died and gave us everlasting life through his resurrection. And so we can play things off throughout the year and have programs and different things for the kids and so forth. And all that's fine and dandy. But if it takes our eyes off of the gospel, it's going to mess up what you believe. And because if you don't believe that, or maybe you believed it before and you don't really think it's so relevant today, and it's very easy for that to happen because there's people in the world that try to water down the gospel, try to add to the gospel, try to change the gospel so it fits people's own desires and own situations and own personality and own lifestyles, and so that we can all say that we believe in Jesus and that we have we're all a Christian, and yet their life doesn't show that their sins have been forgiven. Their life doesn't show that they believe that there's only one way to heaven. They go all these other things in a way so that they get confused, and they'll confuse you as well, and you'll decide to go on that boat wagon and decide to go just like them so that we can all blend in. And God himself never blended in anywhere. And when Jesus came into town, he stood out. And we should stand out as well. And it does matter what you believe. And we have to understand that the gospel matters. And he tells us and reminds them here in the Corinthians. And you remember, just says history. If you don't remember what this church is all about, the Corinthian church was extremely carnal in the way they thought and the way they lived their life. They had a lot of internal sin in their church. They all said they believed God and they loved God and everything, but there was some stuff going on that no one would want to be a pastor of. Paul had to address some stuff about people sleeping together and all kinds of things, and there's just some open sin that was going on. But he's reminding them, the same church that has all these problems, that you have to get back to the gospel and believe what it says, because it does matter. And in verses 12 through 17, we're going to read those real quick. It says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you?" Now, this is at the, in the church, Corinthian church. "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." He's telling them what you believe about the resurrection matters. And we can look at this time of season on our calendar and realize people are celebrating a lot of different things, but very few people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you talk about that, you can alienate yourself with many people, because there's people, it says here, in the church that believe that there's no resurrection. And Paul's pointing out, if you believe there's no resurrection, that's the same thing as saying you have no hope. In verse 13, he tells them, if Christ is not risen, you have no hope. If he died for your sins on the cross, and you believe that, but you don't believe that Jesus rose again, you have no hope of eternal security. You have no hope of eternal salvation, because he's still dead in the grave. None of that has applied. Your sins, he died for your sins, but the blood hasn't been applied to the mercy seat. God is still looking at you as a sinner instead of having mercy on you, looking at you as a saint. You have no hope. In Christ, he says in verse 14, if he is not risen, your faith is in vain. We're doing all this for nothing. Now, I know a lot of churches, a lot of religions that are meeting all over the world today that are having their religious services, but they have no Jesus, they have no resurrection, they have no hope, and they're doing it all in vain. Yeah. They think it's for God. They think it's doing the right thing for God. They think they're following God. They think they're mentioning God's name, but they don't believe that Jesus rose, that even Jesus was the Son of God, much less Jesus rose and delivered them from their sins. If so, they have no hope, but also they're worshiping in vain. They're doing it for nothing. And then he tells us in verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your sin remains. I mean, there is no payment for your sin. He died, but that was it. It can't just stop there. I mean, it's just like going back to the very beginning of the gospel and believing that Jesus was born of a virgin. If you don't believe that, there's no reason to believe that he died for your sins, because if he was sinful, he couldn't die for your sins. It goes back to the very beginning, and knowing that Jesus, there's a reason why he was born through a virgin. There's a reason why he had to go to the cross and die, and there's a reason why he had to be resurrected. Otherwise, we're doing everything in vain. I would hate to be in a church service putting up with all this ruckus for nothing. It's not worth it. But it's worth it when you know Jesus as your Savior and realize that if we have Christ, we have hope. We have a faith that remains, and our sin is gone. But he mentions here in verse 20 through 26, what you believe not only about the gospel matters and about the resurrection, but also what you believe about Christ himself, the risen Christ, matters. And it says in verse 20, we'll read that through 26, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep." That means those that have died in Christ. "For since by man came death," that was Adam and his sin. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's Jesus. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God unto the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He tells us here by Adam, by one man, was death brought into the world. And we learn that in Romans, that because of Adam, death entered the world. Because of death entered, all men must die, because we're all sinners. We're all going to die. And then he says, because of Jesus, by one man, was life brought again. All can be made alive. And because of the risen Christ, there will be an end. And it tells us in verse 25 and 26, all enemies will be destroyed. And the good news, you have to skip down to verse number 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All enemies will be destroyed, but all believers will be delivered. We have resurrection power. We have victory over death and hell. Why is it important that we cover this? Why are we? It's important that a church know the gospel and preach the gospel. Well, Paul's summing it up here. There's people in the church in Corinth that did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. How can they call themselves Christians when they don't even believe that Jesus rose from the dead? If you don't believe that he rose, there's no reason to believe that Jesus was in the earth to begin with. And he died for your sins. That's great. But if he didn't rise again, you have no hope. You're worshiping God in vain. There's no reason for it. And Paul is telling them it all matters that we continue in our church to know the gospel truth and to be able to explain it to others. Because there is a reason why he died. There is a reason why he rose again. And there's a reason why we can have victory today. And it's because we know our sins are forgiven. We have victory over death and hell. And what happens is, if we don't believe that, we won't live like it. And all of a sudden, there's down Christians everywhere. There's down and out Christians, discouraged Christians, Christians that aren't doing anything for God, that have given up going to church and given up believing the gospel and given up on everything because they allow themselves to be convinced by this world and the things of this world that they need to change their ways, change their views, change their attitude, change the way they live their life, change the way they raise their children, change the way they teach their children, change the way they think about the gospel, change the closed mind to the Bible and saying there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. They want you to change all that so you can blend in and be like everybody else. And no one will hear the gospel, and you'll start forgetting the truth yourself. You'll start questioning God's word and whether it's really true, and does that apply to us today? And you'll be making phrases like that, and all of a sudden you'll be just like the Corinthian church. A bunch of people that say they're Christians that are living like the devil. And that's not what God wants. They said, well, why does it really matter whether we celebrate Easter or not, whether we have these activities or not? Does it really matter? Why don't you ask Paul about that? And he tells them here, and we're not going to read the whole thing. After he talks about them, he says in verse 30, why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beasts of Ephesus, what advantage it to me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. But be not deceived. Evil communications, and that word communication just means communion or companionship corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. If you don't listen to the scriptures, if you don't believe it matters, if you try to go believe other things and add to the gospel and just try to blend in with the world, you're going to be ashamed and you're going to allow sin to enter in. He says here that that knowledge is missing. That this evil communications corrupts good manners. It's going to corrupt your life. It's going to corrupt your marriage. It's going to corrupt your church. It's going to corrupt your children, all because somewhere down the line, you forgot the gospel truth, and you stopped believing it, and you stopped testifying of it. And there's so many things in this world that creep in unaware into our church and our life that will try to steal you away slowly but surely, so you'll forget what matters. The gospel truth matters. It matters what we believe. It matters what we preach. It matters what we teach. It matters what we tell others, because people are going to die and go to hell for all eternity if they don't know the truth. They cannot know half the truth. And Jesus died on the cross, and you have the cross up there, and he's still on the cross. And that's everybody told me when I grew up that the reason why Jesus is still on that cross is because it reminds us of the sacrifice he made for us. What a bunch of garbage. Why do some crosses have Jesus on it and some have them off? Because the ones that have them off realize that not only did Christ died, but he was resurrected. He's not on the cross anymore. Yeah, he died for your sins, but he also was resurrected that you could have everlasting life. And if no, without that, you have no hope. You're worshiping in vain. There's no truth in what you're saying. You just believe in a half a truth, and that's never going to get you to heaven. We got to know the whole thing. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a few moments and ask God to help us. Well, throat is so dry right now, I'm spitting cotton balls. But let's just ask God to help us for a few moments and pray. I don't know. A message like this is what God is speaking to you about. But here's a couple of things it might be. Maybe you're not 100% sure when you die you're going to go to heaven when you die. Maybe you have some doubt about it. The best thing you can do right now is just to bow your head and ask God to save you. Call upon his name, like he says in the scriptures, and you can be saved today. But maybe you're here and you know for sure that you're going to be in God's presence. Maybe it's a challenge that God has brought to your life to stick by the truth. Never give up on the gospel. No matter what happens and what changes in this world with your friends, your family, relatives, and those that may be close to you, it doesn't matter the direction they're going. It matters what you believe. And maybe we ought to get back to the roots of what we believe, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died, was buried, and rose again 3 days that we could have everlasting life. Maybe we just got to get back to the basics and ask God to help us to focus and to keep things real, the gospel in our life. Whatever the need may be, let God meet that need this morning. As we pray, Father, thank you for the time we have here today. I ask that you'll bless us, help us, and forgive us of our sin. If there's anybody here, Lord, that needs to trust you, I pray that they'll do so right now. And not only trust you, Lord, but they let me know that they've been saved so that we can rejoice with them. And if there's anyone here that's a Christian, but they may have been just possibly heading the wrong direction, I pray that you'll get a hold of them today and help us to repent, change, and come back to you, Lord, that we can keep things real in our church services, in our life, in our families, and our beliefs, that we can stay strong to the end. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever the need may be, would you just bow your head and pray, or come to the altar if you want to. Come talk to me if you need to. I'll pray with you. Whatever God has, would you just obey him right now?